Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. Is our 10th episode, and unless today is your first listening experience with Accept Your Gifts, you already know by now how much joy I get from the discovery of synchronicities and all the possible interconnections or patterns associated with them. I used to think this was because at my core, I'm just a storyteller, and if you recall episode 4, storytellers, whatever their genre, are the hunters and gatherers of metaphors. So what does this have to do with today in our 10th episode? This. Our podcast now includes listeners in 10 countries. That's right. 10th episode, 10 countries. And it's because of you. Because you have shared this co-creative listening experience with your friends and family and colleagues around the world. So a huge thanks to all of you. And a warm welcome to our listeners here in the U.S. and in Germany, the Ukraine, Singapore, Canada, Nigeria, Croatia, the Philippines, Australia, and hello, Brazil. For today's 10th episode, I've chosen to go solo, without a special guest. I'd like to share a few insights and even a little story about one of my teaching experiences from my former life as an assistant professor who taught journalism, creative writing, and composition classes in research and persuasive writing. A little story or remembrance that resurfaced recently as a result of these past several weeks with our special guests. And because I believe I'm beginning to detect a few patterns. Patterns that can not only lead us toward living a more creative life, but that also sharpen our critical thinking skills. Wow, please hang in there with me through the stream of conscious. I think I'm sensing a way to tie all this together, but I could be wrong. Let's see how it goes. Maybe I'm only tying all this together for me, and if so, I hope you'll indulge me a few moments of self-discovery. Or maybe it will be a remembrance of Patricia Hampel, who said, "You give me your story, I get mine." So here we go. Okay, so remember episode 5 with Carly Fairchild, the Alone Survival Series fan favorite? Carly talked about basketry, both as a creative art form with utilitarian value, and how her skills in basketry enabled her survival for 86 days in the Patagonia wilderness. But Carly also talked about how her understanding of basketry, its intricate architecture of spokes and wefts, if you will, helps her with her healing practice. And that once she personally determined that she'd defined her own life spokes of joy, love, peace, and purpose, she could more clearly articulate to herself what her own patterns would look like that would support those key principal spokes of her personal container. In episode 3, my daughter Morgan from Austin, where she's a sought-after yoga instructor and certified life coach, shared ways of nurturing and expanding our container of consciousness, our awareness of ourself and of ourself in the world. She explained that by expanding our container of consciousness, we're expanding the reaction time between a stress trigger and our response, allowing for a more mindful response. In other words, we become creators rather than reactors. I saw this theme arise from Holly, too, in our second episode. Holly, mom to 3 little ones and a photographer, uses her favorite creative medium to slow down time so that she can discover colors textures, and patterns in ways that we too often tend to gloss over in our everyday busyness. We're sometimes so busy with errands and obligations, all that doing, that we miss out on the joy of just being. And I noticed this was a theme that continued to surface with our other special guests, with Renee in episode 4, who after enduring so much trauma that she could hardly remember who she was and who she'd come here to be, remembered her grandmother's advice, "Renee, what you tell yourself you are." And this remembrance encouraged Renee to pick up a box of crayons, and Renee's been coloring and painting new life patterns for herself ever since. And how about Bernie, the retired military combat nurse whose high school teacher told her, in fact, told everyone within listening distance of Bernie, that Bernie was no artist. Mercy, how Bernie has proven otherwise. How? By discovering her own spokes of life support and by determining what patterns would most support those spokes. And how about Michael Lancaster, our guest last week for a 2-part series, who shared how he discovered poetry as a pathway for expressing his recognition and appreciation of nature's patterns and divinity, and of how the salt ponds create a metaphor for his life. Empty it all out, Mike tells us. Just like the tides going out of the salt ponds, empty it all out so that life can fill you back up. What I love about this image Mike shared, the daily emptying of the salt ponds, that metaphor of making room or the making of a container, if you will, for all that new life to rush back in and fill us, is that this image is a poignant reminder to me, anyway, about the benefit of slowing down, trusting, accepting that while I cannot see what is beyond this present moment as I metaphorically stand in the middle of the emptied, depleted salt ponds, I can still find beauty in this stillness, and I can most certainly trust that new life will rush back in at the most benevolent moment. So let's think about all this for a moment. So I got to thinking, what are the spokes supporting my container? For Carly, they were joy, love, peace, and purpose, but what are mine? And I've been self-reflecting about this a great deal these past several weeks. And what I've discovered for certain so far is that my spokes are different today from the ones I defined for myself in my 20s or 30s. However, subconsciously, I was defining them back then. So by now you may be thinking, okay, Tracy, fine, but what does this have to do with living your most creative life? And this is where I'll share that short story about a teaching experience that happened 10 years ago. Did you catch that? 10 years ago, our 10th episode, we have listeners in 10 countries. Don't you just love synchronicities? Okay, so 10 years ago, the college had asked me to teach a persuasive writing course to a group of military intelligence officers. My background as a former Marine Corps officer seemed like the perfect fit for this new collaboration between the college and a nearby base. On the first night of class, I opened with what I thought would be a fun icebreaker. Some of my students, the average age, probably 35, knew each other or of each other because of their intel backgrounds. But they didn't know everyone. So I counted off the students and I asked all the ones to congregate in one section of the classroom, all the twos across the room, all the threes over here, and the fours over there. You get it, right? After everyone settled back down, I directed one group to a page within our textbook, which was an anthology entitled Rereading America. The page depicted a real-life photograph depicting an elaborate conference room and in the middle of what appeared to be a corporate board meeting. I asked group two to turn to page 381 for the well-known Sharon Olds poem entitled From Seven Floors Up. Group 3 was assigned a graphic comic strip from the anthology section about the global war on terror. And I asked Group 4 to turn to a photograph of a Norman Rockwell classic painting. Now, here's what each group was asked to do. Discuss and analyze the perceived messages within each of these: the poem, the photograph, the comic strip, and the famous Norman Rockwell painting. And after a half hour or so, each group was to present its findings as a group to the rest of us. Ready, set, go. Only one problem. My students didn't go. They looked down at their assigned pages and then looked back up. Their expressions, in some cases, I guess I would describe befuddled. I tried again by explaining the directions. Eventually, the members of Group 2 buried their heads over the Sharon Olds poem. After all, they had 19 lines to read and analyze for perceived messages. Group 3 with the graphic comic strip did pretty much the same thing. After all, they had to read the comic bubbles first for the obvious messages, right? The other two groups circled wagons around the photograph of the board meeting and around the Norman Rockwell painting. What was my expectation from all of this, you may be asking? Well, this was a course on persuasive writing, and so I was expecting debate, vigorous debate, about the messaging or perceived messaging within each of these four examples. I was anticipating an explosion or two of aha moments. I was imagining someone saying, "I don't see that. Are you sure?" Or, "Yeah, I see your point, but what if you look at it from this angle?" Or, "What would you get if you turned it and looked at it from this perspective?" After all, I'd experienced this icebreaker exercise with my college freshman classes of 18 and 19-year-olds. With the poem, they had nitpicked every single word choice, why the poet had chosen to use certain numbers, certain colors, certain images. They argued, or rather debated, that the poem was actually a religious allegory because of its many subtle comparisons and metaphors. The groups who were scanning photographic images talked about the use of light within each one and how the artist was attempting to elicit emotion with the contrast of dark versus light. And the same with the comic strip, which the young students saw filled with messages of portraying the military-industrial complex as just a bunch of overfed, overweight soldiers too trigger-happy for an excuse to play with their toy tanks, ships, and weapons. These college freshmen argued, debated, and even revealed why they felt triggered by certain messaging or attempts at manipulation by these various artists. My expectation for a class with military intelligence officers with a median age of 35 had been far greater than what I had experienced with my college freshmen. But here's what really happened. When all four groups of these adult college students felt quiet, eerily quiet, I decided to roam around the classroom. I paused a moment or two with each group to listen in. Only nothing. Hardly anything. For a moment, I actually felt a rise of panic, like, well, chalk this one up to an epic fail. And on the first night in front of a group of intel officers, one of whom had even created that famous deck of cards that featured Saddam Hussein and others for the Iraqi invasion. So Group 1, still poring over that Sharon Olds poem, looked up when I approached, their expressions quizzical. I offered a lifeline. "What patterns," I said, "do you notice within the poem?" They looked down, scanned the poem, looked back up. "Huh? Patterns?" they asked. "Yes, patterns and repetitions," I encouraged. "What patterns, repetitions do you notice and look for anything that's binary?" Ah, now binary, that was a word that fully resonated with them. And off they went back to work. By the way, this poem is such a work of art, blending masterfully concrete images with abstract metaphorical meaning. I'm sure poetry professors out there have taught entire classes on just this single poem. You might recall in a previous episode, I talked about reading poems and how poems can offer deceptively simple yet multi-layered connections. Remember a few episodes ago when I mentioned that a poem is rarely about the obvious, but about looking beyond the obvious for meaning? In other words, when we're reading a poem, we're reading the lines, but we're also reading between the lines and even beyond the lines. Anyway, Group 2 members had located binaries, and soon the group's self-appointed presenter was jotting down words such as desert and river, death and birth, wilderness and park, and so I moved on to another group. By the time I'd reached the other three groups, who had mostly images to analyze, they too created a list of binaries, and from these they were discussing possible messages. But when it came time for the groups to present their findings, their results were alarming, to me anyway, because, you see, the older adults hadn't identified 1/10 of what my college freshman students had so easily identified. How was this possible? And when I pointed out a few possibilities, such as those word choices, the uses of dark and light in photographs and paintings, and particular messaging from the comic strip, I might as well have been discussing irreducible polynomials instead of communication messaging and the ways in which, if we're not hyper aware with critical thinking awareness, we're being persuaded, even manipulated, individually and societally. So, one of the most compelling questions to arise that night, fortunately, was this. But, Tracy, how do we even know that our interpretation is what the artist intended? And my answer, you won't. You won't ever know for certain, but your awareness of patterns, repetitions, binaries, this awareness ensures you're engaged as a critical thinker. You are no sheep that can be led to slaughter because you're living more aware of messaging techniques. Some of these are probably harmless overall, but many are not. The key is to remember that interpretation is just that, period. Interpretation is not fact. The most compelling statement of that entire night from an intel officer was this. Had we known how to look for things like this, a school bus might not have been just a school bus. And this chilling reference to our inability to find weapons of mass destruction created a silent moment around the classroom as we allowed the full potential to settle into our psyches, even deep into our bones. For some time after this experience, I wondered why the younger college freshmen were able to see what adults many years older couldn't see. And please don't think this is a personal indictment against military intelligence officers, because several of my closest friends are retired intel officers, and they are brilliant and would have easily aced this simple icebreaker exercise. But this experience, I'm afraid, was not an anomaly, because I would continue to teach this course for another year or two to both traditional and adult students, and the outcomes of the icebreaker exercise were always the same. So, what is your interpretation? Here's mine, for whatever it's worth. That at some point in life, As we age and become bombarded with all of life's other distractions and stressors, perhaps we fall into ruts. Ruts of patterns regarding how we think, how we're supposed to think, and how we view the world, or how we're supposed to view the world. I mean, perhaps the ruts are so deep that all we can see is what's happening inside those deep ruts with patterned responses. And so we miss the bus. You know, that school bus that perhaps wasn't actually a school bus at all. So what would happen, I wonder, if we were to expand our awareness and hone our critical thinking skills, our overall awareness, broaden our perceptions, see connections in the unseen. As a friend mentioned recently, when we started talking about this idea and about the concept of teaching ourselves to even think more critically with more awareness, she said, yeah, you know, it's like becoming Neo in the Matrix, who can see the bullet coming straight toward him with enough time to easily move out of harm's way. Wow. Yeah. So on this 10th episode, I'm wondering, and I'm hoping you are as well through this co-creative experience, about what has possibly been staring us in the face all this time. And how? What about a broader, deeper awareness of messaging patterns, synchronicities, metaphors, and binaries might really lead us all toward living our most creative life? I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to accept your gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.